This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond simply talking about Christianity to living more like Christ. We want more of Him in our lives. We want to be those people who really know Him and make Him known. Wouldn't it be helpful in an interview like this with a topic of more, wanting more of Him, wanting to make Him known more into the world? Wouldn't it be great to talk to someone who's done analysis for years of the church movement around the world, especially in America, who's analyzed what it takes for people to really grow, and who maybe would have written a book to help those who are serious to grow more? We've got that person on the air. We have with us Greg Hawkins. Greg served as executive pastor of Willow Creek Community Church. There he conducted back in, Greg, I think it's 2004, a survey that really rocked the evangelical world, and certainly Willow Creek, showing that they weren't growing as much as they should. It was called Reveal. And he has since done a lot of study. He's written some books that have shaped a lot of lives and can influence your life and mine and our churches. And Greg is now pastoring with Max Lucado. He's serving in the leadership team at Oak Hills Church in San Antonio. Greg, thank you for being with us today.
You're welcome, Bill. It's great to be with you.
Do you mind, as we're going to do, I hope, two interviews, because there's so much we want to talk about, Greg. Let our listeners get to know you just a little bit. You know, tell just a little bit of your life story, how it is you came into the Willow Creek, for example. Where did you find Christ, and how did you find yourself in ministry?
Well, I grew up in southeast Texas, at the border of Texas, Louisiana, and the Gulf of Mexico. I grew up in a churched home. We were Missouri-centered Lutherans, and the truth is, honestly, I don't remember a day that I didn't have a sense of closeness and belief in Jesus. And I remember telling my wife that when we were starting to date, and she didn't believe me because, you know, she came to faith in her early 20s. But I think it's a gift in hindsight. I mean, I look back on it and just feel like I've always sensed the presence of God, and at some level, and sort of explored it myself and felt in many ways drawn to God. But I never imagined myself in vocational ministry, and my path was through an engineering degree, an MBA from Stanford, and I worked in the marketplace as a management consultant for a firm, McKinsey & Company, which allowed me to travel really all over the world and see all sorts of interesting businesses and industries. And then I ended up in Chicago working, and had a friend invite me to Willow Creek Community Church. I did not want to attend it. I had read an article in Time magazine about it, and it sounded like, you know, it uses slideshows. I mean, again, this is back in the 1990 or 1989, so a long time ago. But and I just didn't want to go. But, you know, my mom, actually, interesting enough, was in a women's Bible study back in church down in the suburbs of Houston, and she recommended a book to me by a guy named Bill Hybels that they were using in their Bible study called Too Busy Not to Pray. And I read that book, and Hybels, obviously, a senior pastor at Willow Creek, and so I went to the church and had a profound moment that first service I was there, because Bill was giving a talk, and about two-thirds of the way into it, he turned a corner in the talk, and he was talking to those, you know, it was a seeker service, and I didn't even know what that meant at the time, but he turned a corner in the talk and said, now I want to talk to you folks who consider yourselves, you know, followers of Christ. And he talked about what full devotion looked like. And he said, Satan's going to convince you that, you know, 80% devotion is more than enough. And he goes, but I'm here to tell you that 80% is 20% too little, 90% is 10% too little. What God deserves is 100% devotion. And he cast a vision for what it meant to be, you know, a fully engaged follower of Christ. And there was something that went on inside of my body where I realized I've been waiting my whole life for someone to call that out of me. And I've been sitting in church at that point for probably 28 years, 27 years, and had belief and served in the church and worshiped regularly and those sorts of things. But he cast a vision for what it meant to be, you know, have your whole life aligned around that relationship. And so I started attending there, and it's a really long God story, but one thing led to another, and I find myself across the table from the number two guy there in 1991 on April Fool's Day, which I find the humor in it. And I was invited to come help for a year the church that was going through a season of trying to connect everybody into community. The church was very large, had a big front door, even bigger back door, and they were about to put in place sort of a massive small group infrastructure. And I had just left my, I felt called to leave sort of the pace of life I was living and getting on airplanes every week, and had enough money saved. I was single at the time and didn't need to work for at least a year. And so I thought, I'm going to slow down the pace of my life and find a job in Chicago so I can get more involved at Willow, but certainly not work there. And one thing led to another, and I ended up serving there for free for a year, and that led to 22 years of service and got to see all sorts of things. And then didn't see this coming out of left field, was asked January of 96 by Bill Hybels to serve alongside him and actually help lead the church, and that became the role of executive pastor, and I was in that role till the summer of 2013. You know, so that's kind of the journey where I never saw myself doing that, but in hindsight, I look back at the preparation God's done in my life, both my church involvement and my short business career and training allows me sort of to come into the church and have a set of skills to sort of understand what's going on and understand what might be needed to make some changes. But not, you know, it's funny because I've seen a lot of business folks come into the church and assume like, okay, how hard can this be? And these people know what they're doing, and, you know, but if you can apply some of these business skills, they'll fix it. And most of them, if they're engaged with any level of complexity in the organization, realize it's actually much harder because it's a volunteer-driven organization. You don't really pay most of the people who do the work, and you're guided by the Spirit of God. And you know, if you take that responsibility seriously, you know, in some ways, every day you walk into work, it's holy ground, and you are influencing people's lives, their families, destinies, all these things. And mostly you just don't want to mess up. You know, you don't want to dishonor God or hurt people. And so that burden and responsibility is quite significant. But I had the privilege. I had really the privilege to serve there and learned an incredible amount.
If you're just tuning in, we have with us Greg Hawkins, and we'll be talking in a few minutes about his book called More. But Greg, I did my doctoral work around this area of spiritual growth and small group ministry and such, and would find myself with a doctoral ministry going out to Willow Creek for seminars and classes, leadership events. And I didn't know your name at the time, but let me say this. When the information came out about the Reveal survey, that was shocking to me, and I think to many pastors and churches around the country. Tell us about how that came about and your part in it and kind of what came out of it.
Sure. So it was in fall of 2003. I'd been an executive pastor, I think, for about 8 years at this point. The church was growing significantly. We were one of the first churches to do what's now known as multi-site, where you have multiple locations and you know, using the teaching via video. And we were building a $82 million building that was rising out of the parking lot that we had raised all the money for. And it was crazy. I mean, it was fantastic. But I felt a weight of responsibility because I knew that once we were moving into that new facility in about a year, and I said, you know, once people figure out where to sit, they're going to ask, you know, what's next? And we'd always done a little planning and trying to discern what God wanted us to do next. And as part of that, we'd always done a little bit of congregational research about every 3 years or so. And that was really simply asking people, you know, how long you've been attending, what do you attend, how are you involved, those sorts of things. It's more of like activity level stuff. And God did something really remarkable at that point. And here's the thing that was really real is in 2002, we had to lay off like 34 people, which is really first time that ever happened in the church. And the circumstance was kind of it created some dissonance, obviously, but part of it was we were collecting money from a capital campaign, so our regular giving was up literally tens of millions of dollars, but people were, some of them were diverting their regular giving to the capital campaign, so it lowered our revenue for that can be used for salaries and those sorts of things. So we had to trim that. So it was a good news story. We're collecting, you know, and people were being faithful to these pledges, but that required for us to reduce the staff. And that meant reducing what we did and not just, you know, do the same thing with less people. And so I felt this responsibility to know what really helps people grow spiritually. What of all the things we do here really helps people? And that was the question that haunted me, because I knew from my business training that just the fact that people were showing up in increasing numbers didn't mean anything other than they were showing up in increasing numbers. It didn't necessarily mean that they were being transformed. It didn't mean they were being drawn closer to God. They didn't mean they were making decisions to, you know, trust in Christ. And I'll say it the way it comes out of my mouth. I really needed to know what was helpful, because I felt the stewardship responsibility to make those good decisions. Now, ultimately, it's God's work. And the way that request was directed was begging God, essentially, like, God, I just want to be faithful. You know, as I said, was kind of alluding to before, please help me understand what is needed here. And he sent the gift of a guy named Eric Arnson, and who was a brilliant marketplace guy, had his own company, served huge companies like Nike and Levi Strauss and John Deere, the Weather Channel, you name almost any large consumer brand that you're aware of, his company probably came alongside them and gave them some very unique insight into the people who were their consumers. And long and short of it is, for free, he offered to help us gain the same insight about the people attending our church, of what was really going on inside of them, their beliefs, their attitudes, their behaviors, that could give us some indication of what was helping them move closer to God. I mean, I didn't believe it could happen. And I was like, you know, seriously? I mean, like, here's this business guy who's going to help me. And as I kind of even alluded to before, I had my interactions with some of the folks who wanted to help out in the church. They sort of had an agenda, or, you know, or dismissive, some of them, honestly. But he ended up being, still is, an extraordinary friend, and gave us probably about $1 million, and I'm not even exaggerating, of help. And long and short of it, we were able to do, we did a very thorough research project. I think there's a long trail of what we did, but the net effect of it was we ended up surveying the Willow Creek congregation, and then over the next several years ended up surveying over 2,000 other congregations.
Wow.
And have collected a database of about 500,000 responders who attend real churches in mostly the United States, but in several foreign countries, and then all different denominations, all different sized churches, all different denominational mixtures, all sorts of things. And we discovered something that fundamentally changed how we thought about ministry at Willow Creek, and I think has influenced, you know, other pastors, because we've, you know, shared that content. And, you know, honestly, and then for me personally, changed my life. I mean, just completely changed how I not only thought about God, but what I even do in my life privately and then for my vocation. So it was clearly one of the altering moments in my life.
If you're just listening, tuning in, this is Beyond Words Radio with Bill Campbell. We have with us guest Greg Hawkins. We're going to take a quick break and be right back with more.
Scripture Awakening. Awakening the world to the power of God's Word. Read B90, study B next, and live beyond. Read B90. Bible in 90 Days provides a panoramic view of the sweeping story of God's Word. Almost 250,000 people worldwide have read through the Bible from cover to cover using Bible in 90 Days. Study B next. B next is a natural next step after reading B90. B-Next Bible studies are available in digital and print formats, and now the corresponding Amazing Journey video series. Live Beyond. Beyond Words radio satellite broadcast and podcast feature insightful interviews from a wide range of Christian leaders that will both inform and inspire. Move beyond just talking about your faith to living it.
Welcome back to Beyond Words Radio. We're so glad you're with us today as we focus on how we can get more of the Lord in our lives, or maybe give Him more space, because He's always here. He's always available. We have with us guest Greg Hawkins. He's written a book titled More, M-O-R-E. It's a wonderful read for anyone, and most especially for those who want to draw close to God or help others do the same. The subtitle is How to Move from Activity for God to Intimacy with God. Greg, thank you again for being with us. And as we've been talking about the survey that you conducted first back in 2004, I know you did some studies since then. It came out in the as a Reveal survey, and then in your, I guess it was your first book, but the book Move. Do you want to say a word about that before we move on to the book called More?
Sure. What we discovered sort of a framework that came out of the research with these folks about how someone actually moves closer to God. And when I say closer to God, what I mean is a person characterized by increasing levels of love for God and love for others, and people who ultimately have their whole identities oriented around their relationship with God. And that's some of the depth of that insight we learned through the research. And then the book Move is a book mostly intended for church leaders or people trying to help churches become more effective, and describe those different, there's four different groups of people we found in every congregation along a continuum, from people who are believe in God but don't have a personal relationship with Him, all the way to people who are fully surrendered. Their relationship with God is the most important relationship in their life and really defines everything about who they are, and then sort of two groups in between those. And then we learned about what helps someone go from group one to two, two to three, three to four, what a church does to help that movement, what an individual needs to own and take responsibility for along that. And then because we were able to study so many churches, we were able to identify our view of what a spiritually vital congregation looks like, and studied some very remarkable churches, not necessarily based on, you know, how popular they are and books their pastors wrote, but based on hearing from their congregants' experience of that church and the kinds of people that were attending that church. We studied that and found some best practices for churches, and that all got wrapped up in a book called Move. And then for me, the journey, you know, I thought that that was my ministry, essentially, you know, beyond helping out at Willow, serving there, was this research and to influence church leaders and help out as best I can and share what we had discovered. And, you know, God, you know, just like God, when He clearly wasn't done with me. And through that kind of gave me a new assignment along that. And I was burdened by something pretty significantly because, you know, what individuals who attend these real churches, you know, are asking for is help to draw closer to God. They're asking for, they want a deeper understanding of God's word. And that's not just so they get smarter. They understand that God's words help them draw closer to God, and they help them understand who they are and God's plan for them and God's plan for people. And, you know, anyway, there's just this hunger, and then they hunger for leaders who model what that life looks like, and not just preach to them or instruct them, but like show up with what transparently God is doing in their lives in a way that's appropriate to do in a public setting and private settings and those sorts of things. But you just see this deep longing. And when you dig into the data and understand what people want, if you heard what they want, there's nobody who's listening to my voice would not want to give it to them. It's not like they want to be entertained or they don't want music a certain way. They want to be challenged. They want to be fed deeply from God's word. They want to understand how to connect with God intimately. They want to see role models who can help them do that. They want to know how to be with each other to encourage each other to grow. I mean, all these things are their deepest longings. And then you ask them, like, well, how well is your church helping you do that? I mean, not, you know, like, do you like your church or not? That's not asked. It's like, how's your church helping you grow spiritually in these ways? And some churches are doing fantastic jobs, and other churches are not, honestly. And you get a sense some of these people are just giving up hope. And, you know, read the statistics, people don't attend church or don't attend as frequently, and everybody's scratching their head, why? And I'm sitting here looking at 500,000 people telling me why. I'm going, I gotta tell you why. I mean, they're not being seen, they're not being heard, they're not, and some of them just think they're crazy, because the closer you move to God, the more different you are to others around you, and you start thinking you're the crazy one, you know, and you make very radically different choices about how to spend your time and how to behave and you know, all sorts of things. And when you don't have anybody encouraging you in that journey or telling you, like, hey, you're on the right path, you know, you start wondering, like, is this the right path or did I miss a turn somewhere along the way? And so that led to this book, More, that came out about a year ago. And that was about 4 or 5 years worth of effort to really listen deeply to what not just the data said. I'm not really – data to me are people's voices asking for things. And when you put them all together – it's a pretty loud voice, and I wanted to ignore that voice for the longest time, kind of like Jonah. Like, I do not want to go to Nineveh. You know, I want to go the other way. And you know, God had another plan, and I feel the privilege of being able to sort of make sense of all of what we've learned to try to send a message to folks to say, first of all, you're not crazy, and there's millions of people like you who desire this, and there are some clear patterns of how you move in this direction. So I just felt a responsibility to steward what was revealed to me, and to share that, and to try to be an encouragement, not as someone who's figured it all out, but as someone who's on the journey and is learning along the way.
Greg, it's rare to meet someone who has been dealing with statistical data through careful survey process with 500,000 people. And above that, what makes what you've been doing unique is we tend to do surveys around things that are easy to measure. You know, we can read Barna surveys and Gallup surveys around spirituality and find them measuring, you know, quantifiable material. You know, how often do you go to church? How many hours do you pray? But you're talking right. about something more. You're talking about going from what you call it with the four groups, starting from kind of the non-committed to the most committed. You're saying in this most committed group, we've seen some Christians are just off the charts for helping transform essentially people around them and move the church forward. Yeah. These people, they've got something very special going. How do you get there? And surveys, giving us, you talk about how at Willow, the measure of spirituality used to be how active are you in all of our programs. Assuming
Correct.
If you go through
Correct.
This program, that program, it'll be step by step, you're going to grow. And the Right. Reveal survey rocked the world because we were all running in that model pretty much as evangelicals. And the survey showed it's not working. I mean, that's Right. shocking. And now you're saying, how do we get something more? How is it, Greg, just give us a little sense that a survey can go so deep to talk about real spirituality, about our love, our walk with God? You know, how did the surveys push you to get into this book called More?
Yeah, well, I think a couple things. It's, you know, again, I go back to my training and my preparation for life. You know, it's an engineering degree, and I worked for a firm that their whole value proposition to their clients was fact-based problem solving. It's considered probably the most premier consulting firm in the world. And so it's all about how to use information to tell a story. That's what's really going on. And so it starts with not just the survey. It starts with over 60 books that we read and PhD dissertations on spiritual growth and doing a deep dive into, you know, the current best thinking. Second, we interviewed like over 120 people individually about their spiritual lives and got to understand their vocabulary, how they talked about it. And we used that with a very sophisticated framework of understanding people's beliefs, attitudes, behaviors, a way of asking questions that seem to get out more truth, if you will, that had been validated for about 3 decades in the marketplace where you know it works because you make more money. So the concept, the framework seemed to have effectiveness. You put all that together, and then you combine the Word of God, and then you combine your own Christian experience and the experience of others for the last thousands of years, and then that's what you're listening to, and you're listening to a story. And here's the bottom, you know, one of the bottom lines for me is, and now this is going to sound so simple, but you know, a lot of the truths you arrive at, you know, and they sound simple, but to get to them, it, you know, it's a fairly long journey. But spiritual growth, the thing that for me is, when people say, are you growing? Are you maturing? Are you becoming more of a disciple? All this language, I don't think most people know what that means. I think each individual has a point of view about what that looks like, what the goal is. But my deep belief is most people attending church don't know what the goal is. But beyond being saved, and that phrase can mean a lot of different things, but essentially an acceptance of Christ's work on the cross for our sins, that sort of thing. And then beyond that, it's like, well, then it's about being a better person or helping out people or But at some point they don't have a crystal clear idea of what the objective of their spiritual life is once they've made a decision for Christ. And what's become really, really clear for me is that that goal is about a journey moving toward deeper and deeper levels of closeness and intimacy with God. That you return to the state of the dream and the vision and the plan of how we were created. And how we were created was to live in this deep, abiding connection and union with God, where when we chose to separate from that connection, you know, when God asked the first question recorded in the Bible, which is, where are you, to, you know, Adam and Eve, it wasn't like, because I can't find you. It was wanting them to have the consciousness of recognizing that there's now a space between me and you. And that space never existed before, because there was always this deep abiding intimacy. But we wanted our own agenda. We wanted to live separated a bit from God and separated a bit or a lot from each other. And so then we pursue life on our own terms. We say in the book more, it's like living in the kingdom of me. And I got to protect and provide and take care of myself instead of letting God do that for me. And the journey of spiritual growth is to move from that state to a state where it's sort of a reunion. And you choose to say, I don't want it my way anymore. And I turn from that way. And God, I want your way. We move from saying, I want your way, to I want you because you help me, to I just want you. And see that journey? Because what we found in the research is that most people consume Christianity to help them with their life. And when we hear that, we go, that's a great thing, right? Life with God is better than life without God. I think that's completely true. But what we get to this, and we find in the research, is there's some people have crossed the line and said, wait a minute, it's not about how my life is better because I'm in relationship with you, God. I just want to be in relationship with you because I just want to be with you. Not so that anything happens. I just want to be with you, like how life was supposed to be lived all along. So that journey of, there's a journey of belief. I believe in you, God, and I accept these things as fact. But there's another journey that says, I lay down my life. You know, Jesus said, if you want to find your life, you must lose it. And we lay it down and say, I just want you. And the truth is, if we're honest, most of the time we want him because we need his help for our life. And the journey really, the goal is to get to a place where you just want God just because you want God. And you're going to let him take care of all the details of your life, like he records in his scripture, like we were designed to be living. But I'm telling you, that goes against every message the world will ever send you. And most of us think we're idiots to live that way. So my passion, this is the truth, is this message to say, let's just get clear of the goal. The goal is to get to a place of reunion back with you and God and you with others, the way life was supposed to be lived. And many of us think we're supposed to be saved, and what I just described is only going to happen in eternity. And I believe, because I've seen it in the data, that people are living this kind of life now. And I believe Jesus' words and about the kingdom coming, and that you will do even more greater things than what you've seen me do, the word he gave to his disciples, indicates that more of that life is available now. And that's sort of the essence of the book I wrote about how that journey, describing that journey, illustrating that journey, and sort of encouraging people to take that journey.
Excellent. Greg, our time is out, but I'm thankful it's just for this broadcast. We agreed to bring you on again next week. And to the listeners, I want to say what you've gotten here is you've gotten just enough to maybe taste of what's coming. We want to fill you up in this next interview. We're going to go more deeply into what was learned through these surveys that's going to help you personally. We're going to go into how you can have a deeper walk with this great and mighty God through Jesus Christ. So we'll see you next week. Thank you.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. And Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. Visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com, where you can download free podcasts of all Beyond Words programs.